No one's journey is the same. That's why Delta SkyMiles moves with you.
From earning miles on reloads for coffee runs, shopping, and things you do every day, to connecting you to new experiences, a SkyMiles membership fits your lifestyle, letting you do more of what makes you, you.
It's more than travel. It's the membership that flies, dines, streams, rides, and arrives with you.
Because when you have a membership that's as unique as you are, there's no telling where your journey will take you next. Learn more at delta.com/SkyMiles.
So, all right, hold on though. I had a thing that I was going for here. What I wanted to talk to you about was seriously.
Clown.
Was how, of course I'm a clown, dude. I mean, what the hell? Like, this is what I do for a living. Of course I'm a clown. I wanted to ask you about the music industry now. And I wanted to ask you about what being an artist looks like now. No, because you, my friends, are kind of like the average. You're like the average hustler. You're the average, you know, like artist. You're very above average. And so is your songwriting. Let me just, I saw the look on your face coming. I want to be very clear about what I meant.
I'm one of many artists in the trenches.
Yes, exactly. Okay, in the trenches is exactly it. But I feel like it's changed so much because I interview like these young kids now. And but then I talked to Pete Francis like a week or 2 weeks ago, and he like, you know, he made it big with Dispatch in like 2000, and he's telling me about it, and the atmosphere has changed so much, and it just makes me realize how much being a millennial sucks. Do you know what I mean?
You know, I think we there have been times in my career where I was like where I think, shit, I wish I had grown up in a or had been born and discovered this talent that I have, like, I don't know, maybe 30 years earlier or something.
Right.
Like,
right.
That might have, and it would have been, maybe it would have been easier. But, like, you have to think about the grass is always greener.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We're in a really unique time, I think, in this industry. I think that we're in a time where you can get a record deal posting videos of you going viral on TikTok for a video of you, a crappy video perhaps even, of you singing a song that you wrote or a cover song.
Low quality videos, and
it pops off. Or you can go spend a bunch of money or have your college friends who are in film school or whatever, and you make really, really high quality content for real cheap, and it never goes viral. Like, who?
Right.
It's like, I don't know.
It feels to me that being a millennial musician or in any creative field, you know what I mean? Because kind of, it's actually in my field, it's just as, if not even more prevalent. It sucks being a millennial as a musician or a creator as much as it does in any other industry for the same reason that it does in any other industry. It's because we came up thinking it was going to be one way, and then it completely fucking changed literally when we were supposed to start doing
but
it.
When has it not changed by the time you get... Look at our grandparents.
I feel like guys in the 60s all the way up through guys in the 80s and the 90s actually got like careers in music doing it kind of the same way. You start in the clubs and then you get a fan base going and then you cut your demo and then you get a record
deal. But how did you get a fan base? How did you get to cut a demo? How did you get studio time? How did you figure that out?
By just playing shows and being badass.
That's actually
my answer though, I think, right? Wasn't it just by me playing shows and being badass?
But how did you know that you had to play shows? How did you figure out how to play shows?
Everyone knows the musicians play shows, though. No, but for real.
But no. How do musicians figure out that this is the thing that they have to do? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a little meta, or
no,
maybe it's a little like
I do.
It's there. The access to recording, to the access to information on how to do these different things is so much more available that it's flipped the kind of pyramid. You know, like I think about the music industry as a triangle over time. You know, back in the day, in the 60s and 70s, there were probably fewer people playing music, and the ones that broke through figured out how to get into clubs or had somebody who knew somebody or had somebody who knew somebody kind of thing. And
yeah,
and they, like you had to figure you figured it out by word of mouth or whatever, or you went to an open mic and you did a thing. But I think also people went out to, they didn't have as many things to do or opportunities of things to do, so they went out to see music. That was an exciting evening out.
That is very true, and that's actually something that I worry about, that I did want to talk to you about, like economically, just because everything is such a mess right now. But no, I think what I'm trying to say is, like, when I first started playing music and I was like 13 and it was the year 2001, there was like a way you do it. Like, we could get a gig at the local skate shop and we would print some flyers out and we would put that up at the skateboard shop or at the, you know, wherever the kids hung out, and then the kids would come or they wouldn't come and it didn't really matter, and then we would, you know,
and if you were popular, kids showed up.
Well, right.
You know, like,
I guess I just feel like, I feel like there was a, there's just a change now. Like, all right, so I was talking to Pete a couple of weeks ago, Pete Francis from Dispatch,
yes,
who got very big during the file sharing era.
Sure.
You know? And I used him as an example earlier of someone who was like, you know, got famous in more the old school way. But actually, in a way, they were the first band to get it, to do it the new way. You know what I mean? They were entirely word of mouth. And then Napster happened. And then, like, they never even had a record deal, nor did they really seek one, because they reached a level of success so early. And now you can do that. Now that's so common. Like, you've got Billie Eilish going viral on, you know, like Spotify 5-10 years ago.
SoundCloud.
Was it SoundCloud?
I think it was SoundCloud.
Okay. Yeah. Well, even then, just how quickly the times change. You know what I mean? Like, I remember when SoundCloud was
legit. Mean, SoundCloud is still legit, and it depends on what genre of music you're, you know, people. I think it's mostly for, like, maybe hip hop or like beat makers, like, that's a popular platform.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, and people.
Yeah. SoundCloud rapper is a phrase you hear a lot. That's true. I don't know. So you don't think it's really changed that much? It's just a delivery system?
No, I think the access to the ability to participate has opened wide.
Okay.
Anybody. It's no longer a professional industry. It's now a prosumer or a consumer industry. Anybody can go buy a Mac computer with GarageBand on it and plug a mic in and make a song and put it up on Spotify tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's the gates to get in are gone. It just doesn't exist anymore, and there's so much information out there on how to get in, and people are making livings off of selling people information and classes on how to get fans, how to grow your fan base, how to run ads, how to get a sync agent, how to get a college booking agent, how many
guys like that do you know? Because I see them on.
Oh my
on,
God, they're everywhere.
Right, but like personally, do you know them personally?
And some of them.
Really, what I want to know is how many of those people that you see on Instagram and all over social media who are saying, "Are you looking for a follower base? This is how you increase your follower base." Are those people, because you know them in real life, are those people all just complete scam artists, or do they buy their own bullshit?
Okay, here's the thing. The information is not bad.
Really?
The thing is, like, 95% of those people will not actually follow through.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they might spend $400 or $500 or $700 on a course, but
and then not do it.
But then not follow through with the things that you have to do. But it doesn't make them bad people. You know, it's
right.
They're educating people on they're I don't. You could call this. You could call them sharks. You could also call you higher education sharks.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
some
you could.
Of them, you know, like it doesn't. It's the what you do with it's what you do with it. I mean, yeah. any you can learn yeah. you can learn the skills, or you can figure the skills out yourself. Or if somebody can go make money off of it. I don't know. Man, yeah. it's capitalism, baby.
I know. It just seems so. I don't know. I'm very dark today. I'm sorry that I'm so dark
it's
today.
It's okay. I'm dark today, too.
Are you?
Yeah.
Why are you dark, man?
Why am I dark?
Yeah.
Because I dropped my lunch, and I was starving about an hour and a half ago, and I dropped my lunch as soon as I walked into the studio. Into my studio, and it shattered.
Yours. Oh, I thought you were
going
to say
all over the floor, and I had like.
Did
like,
you have it in like nice like glass Tupperware?
Oh yeah, crock pot chicken and like farfalla pasta or whatever it is, and it was like I made it yesterday and it was absolutely delicious smelling, and now my studio smells like my lunch, and I had to go home and like reheat up more.
I just have this image in my head of like you like a kid who dropped his ice cream cone just. Standing over it like
that's
little bottom lip tremble happening.
It was a little more it was sad. It was very sad. I was in the middle of like a heated conversation about advertising
and the real reason why he's feeling dark today.
Well, man, it's hard out here. You asked like has the industry changed?
Yeah.
Yes. And now like I don't pick up my guitar very often. Like I spend.
You said that to me.
I say this all the time.
You said that to me a couple of times now.
I spend all day working on the business side of music, and it makes the actual artist side kind of disappear because I spend all day being a marketer.
Right.
Trying to like, you know, and yeah, you can put boundaries on things, but you still have to get the work done.
No, and there's, I mean, I think a lot of jobs are like that. Like my job is very much like that in the sense that people think like, oh, you just go into the studio and you turn the mic on and you talk and stuff like that. And it's like, no, 98% of what I do throughout the day is edit, rearrange audio, and write copy. And then the other, like, you know, 2% that's left is me actually speaking this nonsense that I'm writing the whole time. But for you, that's different, though. Like, you got to write the songs. The songs got to be there. So
yeah, I mean, I think when it comes down to it, the way that things have gone traditionally or kind of the pattern that's kind of emerged is that I tend to have cycles of like writing and I do tons and tons of writing and all of the business stuff kind of falls to the wayside for a little while. And then when I'm in like a recording cycle, you know, that happens. And then when I'm in a touring cycle and a booking cycle and a marketing cycle, I do all that stuff.
Right.
So it's just, but you know, like right now I'm in the middle of like a marketing cycle and making a record.
I know. It's the only time you call me these days when you're in the middle of a marketing cycle. It's the only time I hear from Drew Angus.
Well, that's because John, how many podcasts have we made?
I was this has been a long walk to me making fun of the last time we tried
how
to do a podcast together.
How many podcasts will you successfully release that before the first podcast that we made
that features you and I
sees the light of day?
I'm on 3. Now, since the last time you and I recorded something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you could kind of count this one and then another one, and I'm also running this one on 2 different channels. So really, 4 is really what you could say. Okay. I wanted to ask at the beginning of this, but then we kind of just got into the conversation and the moment left, but I wanted to ask if we could do the intro of our last podcast, which was ADHP, the Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Podcast. Trademarked name. It's not, but don't steal it, please. Wait, ready? So, hi, I'm John, and welcome to the Attention
Deficit
Hyperactivity
Disorder
Podcast, man.
I don't remember.
Let's do it again. Hold on, ready? All right. Hold on. This is so stupid. I can't believe we wrote this and we felt like such geniuses when we did it, too.
Yeah, it's dumb. All right. But that's okay.
Hi, I'm John, and this is the Attention
Deficit
Hyperactivity
Podcast.
How are you?
Oh, fuck. We have to do it together.
No, but it's just me now, so I have to do it to you.
Oh.
So I should have looked off camera at that point.
Oh.
But I did it. I don't know. Anyway. Anyway, if you're listening right now, that is what me and Drew thought was
a really genius.
A little bit. Not a lot. I'm going to let it breathe.
Are you going to let AI edit it?
Hell no. Never. Not at all. Not at all.
Ooh.
I will not help the robots take my job. Absolutely not. Also, AI sucks still. It sucks a little bit.
Okay.
It doesn't suck at a lot. It's good at, I'll grant it that it's good at some things, but AI sucks a little bit.
Okay.
AI editing doesn't, it does.
No, you still have to be a daddy about it, but.
Right.
You know, like.
I like that.
You have to.
I like when you call me daddy.
Of course you do, John.
I do.
Yeah.
All right, man. Tell me about touring. You've been on tour for a while. Seriously, I haven't seen you, and I am 100% abusing this podcast to catch up with you as a human being.
That's right. That's right.
Which is probably slightly unprofessional.
Totally.
Of me, but,
totally.
You know, but
the PR people would say that that's probably not the way to go. But
my agent is pissed.
Yeah. Who's your agent? You?
Yeah, it's Bob Comrule is my agent.
And Bob Comrule?
Yeah, Bob Comrule. Gotta love Bob.
Bob.
Good old Bob.
Doesn't need any clients?
Yeah, I got you. You'll get an email.
Okay.
From
but is it a netscape.net email?
It's at AOL.com.
AOL.com.
Okay? Excuse you. Netscape is a great
excuse you.
No, but seriously though, how has touring been? How long did your last? You were talking about cycles before. How long did your last touring cycle last for?
I mean, well, it's okay. So it's kind of. I mean, without going into as an independent artist, the run is kind of you just as when things get booked, you play them and you continue to book. So it's kind of just a perpetual loop of booking, playing, and booking, promoting, playing, booking, promoting, and playing. The last couple of runs have been fun. You know, we're expanding. You know, I've in the last 6 months I've been in Indianapolis, St. Louis, Cleveland, Knoxville, Cincinnati.
What do you do to get people out to the shows when you're going outside of your main area? I feel like this is a thing. Well, yeah, but so I mean,
literally meta advertising.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
And okay. It works.
Does
That's
it?
The crazy thing. It works.
It actually works.
It works.
Because I feel like
sometimes
for me,
it works better than other times.
Sure.
And right now I'm. It's not easy. Let's
Meta's
just say
gonna,
that.
Meta's gonna. But when I cut this clip, Meta's gonna boost the shit out of it because you said that out loud.
There
Thank
you go.
You. And if that's the reason you said it, then I still respect it. That's totally fine. But really though, like that stuff does work.
Yeah, man, it's pretty wild. I get to a city and there's 100 tickets sold, and or more, or less sometimes, and.
Yeah, yeah.
These are all people that have no idea who I am, but saw an ad of me singing and bought a ticket.
I love that. I don't know why. Maybe it's just the cynic in me. I feel like that would never work because I don't know that I would ever go to a show based off of that. But maybe I just haven't seen
something. But, you know, like, you're not
me.
The target audience.
Well, all right. For you, no. But, you know, I mean, maybe I, you know, for... Well, I mean, for you, I kind of am, I guess. I
for
don't know.
A jam band, I think you would prefer a jam band or a funk band or something like that.
That's fair. That's
you
fair.
Know?
Yeah, I guess that's fair. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Which is totally fine.
Yeah.
And I see jam bands and funk bands advertising, too. You know, I see Andy Frasco. Okay, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Business 101 says you have to. How do you build a following, or how do you get customers? Business and marketing 101. How do you build for you if you have a brand? Then you have to put that brand in front of customers who will potentially buy that. How do you do that? Well, you said perfectly before when you were a kid, you made a poster and you put it up at the local skate shop where you were gonna play.
Yeah.
And people saw that on the board and came out. Now, Where's that board? What's the what is that board?
Right.
You know,
no,
is that
no,
board
no, of course.
It, is
it,
that
no,
board
it's
at,
the fee.
At Las Vegas? Is it at Starbucks? Is it at the bookstore in downtown Fairfield? Is it on a community board at the gym? Is it on the telephone poles on the walking path around St. Mary's Loop?
I guess
or,
I'm just being
or where do people go? And you have to go to where the people who are most likely to buy those tickets, where they are.
Yeah, that's true. That's
and
true.
They exist on Facebook, believe it or not.
Oh, Facebook is a big market.
That's
for you.
That's where most people that buy my tickets see my advertising.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your demo? What are you shooting at?
Like, I mean, it. If the industry is
this
listening.
Is like kind of inside baseball. So, if you're listening, I'm talking about demographic and just the audience that you're trying to target. That could be like, you know, women 25 to 50. You know what I mean? But like, yeah. But what is yours?
My target demo is men and women between the age of 30-ish and 60.
Okay.
You know?
All right. So you're skewing. So you're skewing
a
little old.
I'm looking for people who have disposable income that can afford to come to the show because it costs me money to do it.
Right.
So I'm not going to play. I can't play for free. It doesn't work like that.
Of course.
And I'm that's the demo. You know.
Yeah.
And I try to skew away from like major cities because there's so much saturation of events and things to do that it just costs more to advertise in major
cities.
Oh, no,
see, like, that's interesting to me because, like, if I would think that going out to the sticks would be a death sentence because who's coming? You know what I mean?
Do you remember that little company called Walmart?
Okay. All right. I'll play this game.
Oh, play this game.
Sure.
Play this game for a second.
Yes, Drew, I
play
do.
Play this game.
But, Drew, they're Walmart. Such a big company. What do you mean?
How did they start? They started in rural areas that where people had to drive an hour to a grocery store or you know, and then they were the one-stop shop. That's they were a one-stop shop for all things that people needed in rural areas.
Yeah.
And okay. that's how they've built their business. So, you know, go to the people that are hungry for things to do, and the town or the area has a nice theater in it or a performance space or whatever, you know, you go find those places and advertise to those people because they're looking for something to do, you know, like people at the end of the day, whether or not politics aside and economy aside, like, people still want something to do, I think, that gets them out of the house.
Yeah, they do.
No matter what, man.
That's true.
And it's just a matter of putting an opportunity in front of them that they might enjoy.
Have you noticed any drop-off in terms of... attendance, and of course this would be impossible for you to measure, but like I was talking to the Mushroom Cloud guys, you know, another great band from Connecticut, the Mushroom Cloud, a couple of weeks ago, and they were saying that they were worried as people are having less and less money that shows might, you know, be less and less well attended, and that's a real concern, you know, kind of going forward, if they were going to plan a tour, if they were going to, you know, try to figure out like somewhere else to go or even just playing locally, like is that something that you worry about? Is that something you've noticed? Is that something that other people in the industry are, excuse me, talking about at this point?
I don't know, man. Like, you can think about that or you can just keep going.
Yeah.
You know, if you let things cripple you then I don't know, man. I don't have the patience to add that to the list of worries that I have. You know?
Yeah, I do.
I think that people always will have a desire to connect and...
That's a great word. Sorry, continue. But yeah.
will always have a desire to connect and check out of their day and be entertained.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's I feel like that those are things, those are like, I guess, three things that I feel like humans need.
Yeah.
And will find that in some way. So I will continue to be part of the pool of choices.
Right.
for people.
You'll remain on the menu.
I'll remain on the menu.
I love that. I love that. You are delicious after all.
I'm certified Angus.
Oh, damn it. I walked right into that. Damn it all. God, there's nothing. It's like there's nothing you can do about that joke. It's just coming, and you just got to deal with it.
It's always there. speaking of always being available.
Okay.
Next Friday,
I was gonna walk us there.
Well, I walked you. You did.
I was
you did.
Walk
and here
us
we are.
There. All right. All right. All
next
right.
Friday, I'm playing a headline show at the Sacred Heart Community. The Sacred Heart University Community Theater in
Shoe
downtown.
Community Theater, baby.
The Shoe, downtown.
That room
downtown
kicks
Fairfield.
So much ass, dude.
Big old room, man.
Mm-hmm.
tickets are available at drewangus.com. And we've got a five-piece band we're playing with.
Who's playing with you these days? Is Spencer Inch playing with you these days, or is he still
playing the Boron on Come From Away on tour?
Is it Boron? Is it Boj?
It's Boron.
It's Boron.
Yeah, that's the American.
Because it has that weird D in it.
Yeah, it's one would think that it's the Bodrin, but it's actually the Boron.
Well, that's.
I think I'm
but okay.
Like 99%.
You should do it in the Scottish accent you did at the beginning
no,
of this.
No, absolutely not. not in public.
All right.
Anyway,
fair enough.
So on that gig, we'll have Fairfield local Brian Garby.
He's nasty.
Milford local on bass, Mike Nuno. I think that's how you pronounce his last name.
You don't know.
You might have to. I've never met him.
I'll cut this out. Don't worry.
Yeah, cut
don't
this
worry,
part
I'll
out,
cut
please. We'll have my buddy Adam Bonomo on keys, and I think he's going to be opening the show. We'll have Jeremy Goldsmith on all things electric. We'll have Gianni Lito on.
Gianni.
Yeah, Gianni's going to play some acoustic guitar
Has he gone on the road with you at all?
He's run sound for me a few times, and he's played guitar here and there on some things.
Gianni's
and,
the man, dude.
Yeah, Gianni's great. He's a great player, and I'm excited to have him on board and playing some acoustic stuff.
Hell yeah.
We'll be playing a bunch of stuff off of my forthcoming record that is yet to be titled.
Is this the one with the song that I don't know if you even want me to talk about?
With Wildflowers, man. We're talking about Wildflowers. I talk about it all the time, man.
All right. Well, good. No, because like I asked you, I think I asked you. By the way, you share this with our dear mutual friend Nick Yost. You're the most blunt texter ever. Because I texted you like, I want to say 2 months ago, and I was like, hey, man, what's up with that Wildflower song? Can I play that on PLR? And all you wrote me back was just no.
Yeah.
With a period at the
no.
end.
No.
You took the time to write the period.
I probably hit
which
space.
Is which is passive aggressive.
I probably hit space bar twice, and it.
It doesn't auto input periods.
It sure does.
Drew.
Yeah, it does.
Does it really?
I bet you.
Pull out your phone right now. Pull.
Here we go.
Come on. Let's find out.
Yeah,
let's
here
find
we go.
Out just how passive aggressive Drew Angus is.
Here we go. I'm going to text you. Here
okay.
it is.
All right, fine. Oh, son of a biscuit. All right, fine. Anyway, tell me about Wildflowers, man. Because, okay, I've seen the videos that you've put up on social media. So, God, yeah, right, your advertising does work because I see these videos that you're putting up on social media of people having a great response to Wildflowers. People are singing along with it. And, in fact, on one of our failed podcasts, it was right after you had just, like, debuted it, and you had, like, these, like, 12, 13-year-olds in the crowd who were there to see, like, the Taylor Swift tribute act that you were, like, on the gig with. You had them singing along with it, even though it was the first time they heard it. Tell me about that tune, man.
So Wildflowers is a song written about imposter syndrome. It came from a place of needing kind of an anthem to get myself out of imposter syndrome.
All right, so you still get that?
Oh,
like,
my God, every day, man.
Every day.
Every day. Oh, sorry. I have ADHD, and my therapist yesterday told me, Drew, why don't you set an alarm for every hour on the hour for the next week, every day, so that you can just, like, if you're in a rut and the alarm goes off, it's just like a little jog to remind you that, like, you're here still, like, you know. Like,
so remember a minute ago how I was doubting that someone like you, who seems so confident, could have imposter syndrome? I don't doubt that anymore after you just explained that whole thing.
Yeah, man, dude, it's hard, man. Like, it is, dude. Imposter syndrome is real, and I think everybody experiences this in some way, shape, or form in their life, in their relationships, in their business, in their creative ventures, in their hobbies, man. You know, it's just a real psychological thing that for some people is debilitating, and I think Wildflowers is a song that combats that.
I love that because it is such an upbeat tune. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it gets you singing along. And every place I've played it, the crowd finishes the song. And it's the greatest feeling in the world.
You might have a guy there, dude. You might have a little guy.
Okay.
Do you wanna play that little guy?
Yeah. I would love to play Wildflowers.
That would be
I thought you were talking about James.
Oh, no. No, yeah, no, James does love Wildflowers. My son,
I don't know if he does or not.
Yeah, no. No, my son is a fan of yours.
I love that. I'm a fan of James.
Oh, well, thank you. He is specifically a fan of, which one is it? My Place. He's a fan of your song, My Place. That's it. Okay, that's it. Because the first time he flew a plane was from New York to California.
He flew the plane? He was the pilot?
Yeah, he was the pilot.
Laid up with worry. Will I be alright? Did I make a wrong turn into some dead end life? Is this a crisis or just a Sunday night? Go for a drive. Hear music in the wind. And I'm humbled by the stars, and in this solemn moment, I find my way again. 'Cause now I know, even on the darkest roads, when you're feeling most alone, that's where the wildflowers grow. So when I fall, doesn't mean I've lost it all. Beyond the shallow roots of woe, that's where the wildflowers grow. It used to feel like every wish I made came with a catch and an expiration date. If life's a novel, don't judge it by a page. I know the hunger of a thousand men, what it feels like on the verge of giving in. But I'm gonna hold on until the bitter end. 'Cause now I know, even on the darkest roads, when you're feeling most alone, that's where the wildflowers grow. When I fall, it doesn't mean I've lost it all. Beyond the shallow roots of woe, that's where the wildflowers grow. Wildflowers, man.
That's a good, I mean, dude, it is a good song.
I think, you know, like, it only takes one. And not, I don't want to toot my own horn, but, like, that's one of them.
That's
it,
right.
Could be, it could be one.
I told you, man, it could be a guy. It could be a guy. It's the sing-along ability of it.
There's, now, yeah, man.
Now, how much of that comes to you, and how much of that is by, I don't want to take the magic and the mystery out of the whole thing, and I don't want to show how the sausage is made, but, like, how much of your songwriting now is like, holy shit, I just got this great moment of inspiration. Holy crap, I just have this great, you know, like, thought that I really want to, you know, I have to get this out of my mind. I have to get this on a guitar. And how much of it is you sitting down, workshopping with other artists, which is a totally legit and like organic way to write, but it is a little bit more planned.
Yeah, I mean, this came from a writing session. I was in Nashville. I wrote this with my buddy AJ Smith, who has a great artist career of his own, and my buddy, who's also a Fairfield native, Thomas Baldwin.
Yo, we're extra live and local today, kid. I'm super, crushing this game. This is great.
I mean, truth be told, it was like, okay, what do you guys want to write about today? You know, and I was kind of talking about, like, you know, self-doubt and imposter syndrome. And, I like to, most of my, like, kind of song seeds or ideas kind of come from being, like, alone in the car with nothing on, you know, like, and just letting my brain go, you know, and get past the business part of, like, let that get out, you know, it's got to flush the system, it has to flush out, and then I can start to feel creative again, you know.
It's like, I usually drive in silence too, which is like the most, like, it's people, blasphemy for a radio person to say that, but I usually do it for that reason.
People think I'm, like, I'm absolutely crazy, or just batshit crazy, but then they'll come up to me afterwards and be like, I also do that because it's how I think.
Yeah, that's how you, you know, man, that's how you process. It's just, like, sleep so, and that.
The world is so loud, man. I just need some time to myself to be quiet, you know?
It's funny because, like, our jobs are to make it louder.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, but that's all right.
But that's okay, man. You know, so I like to drive long distances, and a good chunk of that is, like, often in silence, in quiet, in pensive thought. You know, it's just like it lets me kind of start to get ideas flowing, and I'll often just have a note that I kind of jot down or talk to my phone and just start to get ideas going, and then I'll take that to my writing sessions and we'll explore. And that particular song was it was announced that I was going to open for Mumford and Sons at Greenwich Town Party.
Oh my god, that's right,
around that time. And so we were sitting in the room, like, what's a song that we can that would be killing song to, like, play at that set before Mumford and Sons. And so, you know, we're kind of like, hey, let's experiment with kind of the Americana lane a little bit. And, you know, we went there. You know, so sometimes, you know, songs aren't all just like just magic and smoke and mirrors.
No,
it's
not like in the movies at all.
It's a practice, you know? And sometimes, yeah, you do get those moments where it's just like, and the song comes to you in your sleep or in your dream or in like a fever, you know. Yeah. You know, you read the books, and some people, like, think of songs as like this they just come out of thin air. And yeah, I think songs do come out of thin air. But some writers will, like, I forget who it was, but one writer that I read about, like, she described her songwriting experience as, like, it's this wisp that just, like, comes into her mind, and she has to run to the paper and write it down before it just, like, leaves. But if it leaves, it's okay, because it's going to go to somebody else. Songs exist, man, and ideas and things, they all exist, and you just have to, like, go fishing for them. And let them and be an open pathway to, like, let them come to you, you know?
Dude, look at how hype you are right now. I love this.
It's the songwriting, like, you know, it's the scariest.
Because we were both a little depressed, you know, like, beforehand. Yeah. And now the vibe changed.
you
did it, because the song is alive, baby.
Yeah, man. Well, thank you. songwriting is like is one of my favorite things in the world. And some days it's the hardest thing in the world for me, and then some days it comes so easily. I just posted a video, I posted a reel and a TikTok today of yeah. another song that's going to be on the record called "Late to the Party." That when I made my record, that's still unnamed, and I don't have a release date yet for it, but it's coming.
You're killing this promo game. It's I know, so good. You're yeah, so the, good at it.
My PR guy is out in the hall.
No, yeah. Your publicist is, you know, like, you can't see it, but she's banging on the windows over there.
You didn't follow the media training. I'm going off script.
You are. We're off script now, man.
We're definitely off script now. And, It's you know, I wrote it with my friend Will Overman, and I had never met the guy, just over text, like before we had this writing session
Overman
scheduled.
Overman over text.
Will Overman over text. And we like sat down in a room, had another cup of coffee, and were heavily caffeinated and just like trying to get to know each other. And you know, what do you want to write about today? Like, you know, like, hey, my
what a terrible way to get to know somebody. It's also weirdly like brilliant. Just make yourself anxious
and
caffeinated
and like high strung. And
this
like,
is why people love cocaine. I'm not saying that
I don't actually love cocaine. I don't.
And I no one would ever say that Drew Angus loves cocaine.
No, he does not.
I'm not saying Drew Angus loves cocaine. I just want it to be clear.
I hate the press. I hate that you just made little sound bites of that.
It's gonna go on my little board over here, and I'm gonna just hit it.
Drew Angus loves
cocaine. Yeah, I'm giving away Buck Cherry tickets this week, man. So I've had to like, I love the cocaine. I love the cocaine in my head.
Yeah,
all
there
week.
You go.
All right, now that I've successfully derailed this, I'm sorry. Yeah. Please continue.
ADHD.
That's right. See, that's why it was a good idea. That's why it was a good idea. No, all right. But so big, crazy, caffeinated, wild session with some guy that.
Well,
it's
not a wild session. We just we're just hanging out. We're two guys in a recording studio, like just trying to vibe and catch a song, you know. I kind of had some chords I was playing with, I had this idea in my note from driving down to Nashville, and late like my family is habitually and genetically late for things. Like it's a miracle if when we go on like a family vacation that we all make the flight. Someone is going to miss the flight.
Really?
Like, oh, it's happened before. Oh, it's happened. It's happened more than once.
That's late.
It's late. You know, and it's just. And I won't point fingers or name names. Mom.
Yeah.
But okay. Love her to death. Mm-hmm. She's the root of like why I am the way I am.
Right. No, listen. That's why Elvis Costello wrote a song about her. Absolutely. I was gonna say if you're a big fan of Elvis Costello, I just told you Drew's mom's name, but then he just sang it. So I guess that's fair.
it's just a funny song about just being late to the party, man. It's slowly emerging as like one of my favorite of the new batch of songs here.
Well, when you've got one that they sing back to you, that's pretty good.
It's pretty cool, man. They don't sing this one back yet, but it's
Oh, this is a new one.
This is a new one.
Okay,
this is not Wildflower.
I thought you were still talking about that original Little Genesis. Oh, this is very exciting.
No. This is a different song.
Oh, okay. So what is it about this new one that you're enjoying so much live? So, I mean, like, I thought that I was in the right wheelhouse here. But all right, so what is it about this guy?
It's just a rocker. It moves. It makes you move.
I love that.
And you know, it... throws back to my some of my favorite artists like Tom Petty and the Eagles and that world of music, you know.
Yeah.
And that's just great songs, you know, and it's a fun song, man. I'm really excited about it.
I'm excited to hear it, dude. I'm very excited to hear it.
But,
I'm very excited
yeah, man.
To hear it. Well, listen, man, thank you for coming here and doing this podcast with me. I did want to ask you, what happened with that other songwriter podcast that we did several months ago? Because you are responsible for one of my favorite podcast moments of all time during the recording of that.
What was that?
It was... It's not the nicest story to tell in the entire world.
Oh, then let's not tell that. Let's cut this out.
But it's a little funny.
But there's that nothing has happened with that, and I don't know if anything ever will.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, it's... well...
All right, so I'm going to tell this story real quick because I thought it was really funny. But we did this podcast. It was me and you and like a million other like singer-songwriters that you had in for your songwriter series night, right?
Yeah.
And it was great. And one of the people, you know, you set us up where it was, you know, like just two people sitting on the couch talking to each other, and you had written questions and we would pull the questions and stuff like that. But you got paired up with one particular songwriter who had a very extravagant piece of clothing on, and it was great. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
I think so.
It was one of the more successful people in the room. That's all I'll say.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, no, you know exactly where I'm going with this. And you asked the question. They had this huge hat on, and you said, you looked at them and you said, "What do you think the most important piece of attire for a singer-songwriter is?"
I said this?
You don't remember this?
No.
Oh my God, no, dude, seriously. It was, you know who I'm talking about. He had that massive hat on.
Yeah. Tim Warren of the Alternate Roots, man.
Let's, you know what? Let's throw it out there.
And what did Tim say? What was Tim's response?
It went right over his fucking head, which is a
right
miracle.
Over the head.
Because that hat was so large. It went right over his head. You said that. And then immediately, like, I started chuckling because I thought it was just going to be a moment. And then I looked at Nicole, your girlfriend. And Nicole's chuckling. And then I look. Oddly, all the other... It was me and the two women in the room who, like, immediately thought that it was funny. Like, the other guy singer-songwriters were, like, kind of just like, what is it? I wonder... I am thinking about what it is. I want to be like...
I want to learn.
I want to learn. But me and Nicole and Charlotte, like, all looked at each other at the same time and just started laughing. And then he just went on this whole long thing. He goes, you know, I don't really know that, you know, that clothing or anything like that is really ever going to be something that would affect my song. But he answered it like dead ass, like so serious, like he just missed it. And then he goes, but you know, Drew, I would send the same thing back to you. I mean, what do you think is the most important piece of attire?
A good hat.
That's what you did. That's what you did. And it was one of my favorite podcasting moments of all time.
There
just watching
go.
It sail. through the goalposts, which were really created because it was one of those weird like fedora ones that has like
the
inlet. Yeah,
oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
It goes over the
yeah.
It was pretty great. I don't know. Anyway, I felt like it was important
okay.
to tell that story. Maybe I'll keep that story in. Maybe I'll cut
okay.
it out. I'm not sure.
All right.
You can tell me how you feel like a day later when your anxiety kicks in and like, shit, I shouldn't have told
you that.
Shouldn't
have said that. Shouldn't have said that.
Oh, man. Shoe Community Theater.
Friday, April 25th.
That's next Friday from when we're recording this, which is the Thursday before previous.
When does go live?
I usually have them out on Monday.
Okay, so this will be
this coming Friday.
Friday at the Sacred Heart University Community Theater in downtown Fairfield. Show starts at 8 p.m. Doors are at 7. Get your tickets, drewangus.com.
Drewangus.com.
It's going to be a great night.
Yeah, baby.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now. Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.